You might think you've heard this story before. A young 17-year-old boy from small town Gallant, Alabama, has a dream of becoming a United States Marine. A bitter disagreement between child and parent, the loss of youth and innocence, a greedy wife with a death wish for her husband, and the man who was willing to go down for it, and the fight for justice for not one, but two people. This is the murder of Corporal Chris R. Brown and a mother's fight for justice.
For the references for this episode, we have the movie called A Matter of Justice from 1993, starring Patty Duke and Martin Sheen. You can find that on Amazon Prime Video and Prime Video only, and you can only find that in two parts. Yes, I rented it. It was originally, God, I can't remember the original network it came out on, but they replayed it on Lifetime a lot. This is why I remember this case, was because of this movie. So, Wikipedia, of course, Chris Randall Brown at Blogspot, Kathy Dusty Brown at Blogspot, Deseret News article by Scott D. Pierce in 1993, and New Day, New Page Blogspot. And all of these will be linked in the show notes.
So it was small town USA. Gallant, Alabama had a population of 208 in 2010.
Very tiny.
That's insane. Well, you're from a small town and it has way more than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it's still very small. The nearest town is Attala.
Yeah. If we get these wrong, please don't email us.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We're not very good with some pronunciations. Alabama, which had a population of 6,048 people in 2010.
And so, Chris Brown, we're just going to call him Chris throughout the rest of this episode. He was only 17 in 1978. He had dreams of becoming a U.S. Marine. In the movie, it implies that he gets his high school equivalent, not his diploma. However, this detail will come up later. It said that his mother was not over the moon or overjoyed with the fact that her son wanted to not only leave home at such a young age, but go into the military. I find that very common still to this day. A lot of young boys that we went to school with wanted to be in the military, and a lot of them did go right out of high school.
Yes.
So, I mean, I understand, you know, Chris's mom was very, very hesitant about her 17-year-old going to the Marines, and she should have been.
Yes.
And back then, you could go in at 17. You didn't have to be 18. So, in Kaneohe, which I know that's the pronunciation because I looked it up. Kaneohe, Hawaii, will be the home of Chris Brown for the next 4 years. Although I couldn't find anything definitive on what his job title was, we do know that he worked at a desk job. So, we don't know a lot of details about this case. There's a lot of details, but at the same time, you don't know everything. It's a very private family.
Oh, okay.
And they haven't released a lot, so.
So, pretty early on during Chris's deployment, he meets a young woman by the name of Kathy Charlene Brown. But for the purpose of this episode, and from here on out, we will refer to her as Dusty, because that's the name she went by. And at the time of their meeting, she was 24 and Chris had just turned 18. And apparently their relationship moved pretty fast, because upon Chris's return to his parents' home in Alabama after basic training, he did not come alone. He left a boy and came back a husband. So Dusty and Chris were married in Hawaii sometime in either 1978 or 1979. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, Mary Brown, that's Chris's mother, was very upset about this news. She wasn't really okay with her son leaving home at 17, much less getting married at 18, to a woman that he seemingly hadn't known but a few weeks at best. Boot camp for Marines in 2020 is about 13 weeks. Not sure how long boot camp was for a Marine in the late 70s, early 80s, but it was shorter than 13 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And so he basically met and married her in that time.
This was very, very short. We're talking maybe a month, probably, if I had to guess. So he was 17, getting his GED really quick, going into the Marines, then he's married. And
I don't feel like that was uncommon, though, in the time to get married quickly.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
How long did Great Nana know?
2 weeks. Love that for her.
Yeah.
My Great Nana knew my great granddad 2 weeks, and then they got married, and then he went to war. Then he came back home, and they had a bunch of kids.
And they were married until he passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she never remarried.
She did not. Love that. We love a good romance.
Yes. Although no one knows for sure, Dusty is portrayed in the movie as a woman that is unlikable and fake. She seemed disingenuous. Mary made sure to let Chris know what she thought about the situation. So, there was a falling out amongst the Brown family. About said the Graham family. I don't know who that is either. So, Chris was upset with his mother for not accepting their marriage. Chris's father, Jack, was neutral about the situation, although he leaned more on Chris's side, and Dusty wasn't happy, nor was she displeased that Chris's family wasn't accepting. She seemed to not really care if the family liked her or not.
I don't disagree with her.
We talked either.
About that the other day.
Yeah.
This is a situation where, like, in the movie, they make you automatically hate Dusty. But I'm just going to come out and say that to go in the Marines like that is very common. To fall in love quickly when you're that young, it's very common. And honestly, when you're that young, nobody gives a shit if the family likes you.
That's true.
You know, this is not weird. There's no red flags popping up for me right now. I think they're just two young people getting together and just being young.
Yeah.
And I think Mary had a hard time with that, obviously, because that's her son.
And I think a lot of times when you're with somebody and you're young, the parent doesn't like or want to accept.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And especially mothers with sons, they're very attached usually.
Yes.
So. During Chris's visit home, Dusty and him announced that she was pregnant and that she would never let Mary see her child.
Yes. How many times have you heard, like, you know, I'll never let you see my grandkids?
Oh, yeah.
That whole story. I think that's the same young, immature mentality bullshit. That doesn't mean she's a murderer up to this point. You know, I still don't see any red flags. I know that you guys are probably automatically not liking her because you probably know that she's the villain because of the introduction.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make her bad. That makes her reactive and traumatic. Like I said, we don't know all the details about everything. And that's not limited to Dusty's pregnancy or labor or delivery, except the fact that she did give birth to a girl. Her name was Tara Christine Brown. Yes, she's still alive today. She's still around. We'll talk more about her later. Chris did call his mom, Mary, and tell her of Tara's birth. Mary asked to visit, but Chris told her he didn't think it would be a good idea because of the tension between Dusty and her. That's sad, but what are you going to do? Mary and Jack wouldn't meet little Christine until she was around 2. Because of the discomfort. At that point, shut the fuck up. Like Dusty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you should let them see their grandchild.
Yeah.
But they let this little argument between them ruin everything. It's said that Dusty was what some would call an irresponsible parent. She would often leave little Christine by herself or with a babysitter for hours. It suggested that Dusty frequented a local bar that was known for drugs and sex work. On one occasion, this is according to Mary Brown, Chris came home from work to Christine sitting in her own shit. No babysitter. But it is also suggested, and Mary never confronts this, that Chris was also on drugs and that he frequented the bar as well and that they were all in with the wrong crowd. It wasn't just Dusty. However, there's no reports of Chris ever abusing Christine like Dusty did and leaving her and stuff. But he was on drugs, according to some sources.
Okay. So, Chris, for the most part, was a good kid, but he often had a temper and would from time to time get physical with Dusty and her suitors. It's insinuated that Dusty was having affairs with other men. In one instance, Chris and Dusty were having a fight at the local bar where Chris and fellow Marine Private Ralph G. Jackson got into a physical altercation. Ralph was a 20-year-old Marine.
20-arm? He was a 20-arm motherfucker.
A 20-year-old Marine from Tyler, Texas. Quite a ways from Alabama. Ralph was known to his friends as Rocky. I don't know why everyone in the 70s and 80s had a nickname. Literally, why?
My name's Rocky. My name's Dusty.
Rocky and Dusty were in a sexual relationship that would eventually turn into a romantic relationship. So that was his friend. Chris's friend got with Chris's wife.
Or did he? They were never friends. They were. It was just like a fellow.
Oh, okay.
Private.
Okay.
Just like a co-worker, pretty much, I guess.
Okay. So, Chris and Dusty's arrangements... Chris and Dusty's argument and fight continued at their apartment that night. According to Dusty, Chris hit her, although there's no proof of him hitting her. Like I said, it's pretty well known that Chris had an anger issue, though.
And I feel like a lot of that, like, is Dusty bad? Is Chris bad? Are they both good? Are they, you know, you can go back and forth with it. I think they were all bad. I mean, to an extent, Chris should not have been hitting her.
No, never.
And there were witnesses that he did hit her. So, you know, there's no concrete proof, but I have to say that I don't doubt it because of all the tension.
Yeah.
You know, that's his first, yeah, you know, person he's ever had sex with. They have a daughter. They're both on drugs. So, yeah, I don't doubt that he hit her. It's safe to say that Chris and Dusty had a horrible relationship filled with infidelity, lies, abuse, and general unhappiness. Their relationship the happiness did not last long. They're star-crossed lovers for sure. Chris would end up taking emergency leave, to go back home to see his parents in Gallant. He did take Christine with him. He went home to visit his parents, and there he actually filed for divorce from Dusty. Whatever his exact reason was for leaving unexpectedly, we're not sure, but it's clear that there were more than enough issues in this marriage to warrant a divorce. And also, back then, they took adultery really seriously.
Yes.
And she was not hiding her relationship with Rocky.
Okay.
So, those were the grounds for his divorce. While on emergency leave, Chris granted his parents temporary custody of Christine while Chris goes back to Hawaii to deal with his marriage. Chris's father, Jack, expressed that he thought Chris should try and work things out with Dusty because she was his wife and he had a family to think about. Unfortunately, when Chris left his parents, that would be the last time they ever saw him alive. So,
okay.
He came home maybe 3 times in
4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so sad. So, Chris comes home to try and work things out with Dusty. Unfortunately for him, not only does Dusty not want to work things out, she's already openly moved on and is in a full-blown relationship with Rocky.
Yeah, she's over it. And So, how do you feel about him going and trying to work it out?
I feel like that was the right move, but if she was already so moved on, I think he should have just let her go.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, although the true events have never been publicized regarding Dusty's involvement with the murder, the movie leads us to believe that she asked Rocky to murder Chris for her for financial reasons. On the evening of September 2nd, 1983, Rocky used a key to get access. Well, we should probably put that this is where it's about to get.
Oh, yeah.
Serious.
Let me just say for one quick second. So, like we just said in the movie, it insinuates that she was involved, or that she asked Rocky. She was eventually convicted later. She was involved.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, it was never in court proven that she asked Rocky to kill him, but I'm assuming she asked him because she was heavily involved.
Yeah.
But we have to say that allegedly she asked him. We don't know for sure.
Yes.
So, also, trigger warning, we talk, this is pretty gruesome, it's very sad, and if you want to skip past, that's fine, but we're just letting you know.
Yes. So, this was on the evening of September 2nd, 1983. Rocky used a key to get access to Chris's apartment.
Sorry, this goes with the other thing.
Okay.
He used a key. So, he got the key from somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I just don't want, like, I don't want you guys to lose the details. Like, he had a freaking key.
Yeah.
Like, of course, where did
Although
he get the key?
Although we can't prove she gave him.
No.
He could have stolen and made a copy of her key.
Yeah. And the court records have never been released. So, although she was convicted, we don't know what it was on.
Yes.
So, all we know is that he used a key.
Yes.
And it worked.
Yes. So, it's there where he will wait for Chris to get home from work. So, he went in when he was not home and waited.
In the dark.
That is terrifying. I'm so terrified of that.
Mm-hmm.
He will then ambush Chris with a knife and stab him multiple times, eventually brutally killing him and leaving him for dead. So, sometime that night, Dusty calls Mary, which was Chris's mother, and tells her that Chris has been murdered and was stabbed 26 times. Some reports show it was 27, but it's unclear which number is right. So, either way, it was a ton. It was much overkill.
Yeah, and they say that he wasn't dead. Like, he died after he had already left. So, the blows weren't even, merciful. They were just horrible.
So, and Chris did try to defend himself, and in doing so, his right thumb was completely severed.
Yes.
So, immediately after Chris's funeral, Mary is fully involved with the Naval Investigative Service's investigation of his murder. Mary suspects Dusty may be involved with his death because she knows how many stab wounds Chris endured before the autopsy was ever conducted.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's, the dialogue is off, but it's insinuated in the movie that Rocky did it and went and told her, I did it 26 times, and here's his thumb. Yeah.
So, soon after Chris's murder, Rocky was scheduled to be deployed somewhere else. Shortly after boarding the plane, an NIS sergeant or officer or whatever, I'm not sure what they're called, asked each man to take off their shoes because they said the killer would have blood residue still on his feet because the killer was barefoot during the commission of the crime. Behold, Rocky's feet had blood residue on them, and he was arrested immediately.
Ew.
Yes.
Why disgusting. Do you still have blood on your fucking feet, you nasty shit, Rocky? What? First of all, barefooted?
Yeah.
Why don't you put plastic bags on your feet or something?
Or why did he take his shoes off?
I think to, like, not leave shoe prints. But you know what? I would have kept my shoes on, especially if they were issued.
Yeah.
Because everybody has those.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Just wear your issued boots.
And why don't you wash your feet, you nasty... Mm. That is nasty. But how badass is that? Like, he's getting on the plane. He's getting on the plane to go to his next appointment. And they're like, take off your shoes.
Nobody would ever think that that's how they would get caught.
I know.
At all.
That is so fucking badass. He's like, yeah, I made it. I did it for my woman.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, actually, sir, why is there blood on your feet, yeah. You fucking sicko?
So, Rocky was eventually court-martialed and convicted of first-degree murder in early January of 1984. He was sentenced to life in prison. The NIS refused to give the motive for the murder of Chris.
But we all know.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
So, he was sent to
Leavenworth.
Leavenworth Prison in Kansas.
Amen. Bye. Yes. Except, I have a plot twist. He was released.
Wonderful.
I don't know why or when. So, after the trial of Raque, hey-ho, Dusty was, for obvious reasons, upset that Chris's parents, Mary and Jack, still had custody of little Chrissy. So when we talked about when he took leave, and we don't know really why he took leave, he went and filed for divorce.
And gave his parents temporary custody.
They still had temporary custody. And she was like, I want my baby. And they were like, hell no. So this is where the story gets fucking crazy. As if it's not already. A custody battle would eventually take place. It's during this trial that the courts, they actually had a custody trial. And the courts find out that Dusty was previously married and actually had another child with her ex-husband, who has sole custody of their child. She actually lost her custody because she neglected her previous child.
And Chris hadn't, we don't think he knew about this at all?
We don't think Chris knew about it at all.
Okay.
About the previous marriage.
Okay.
So, the courts in Alabama actually decided during this trial that it was in Chrissy's best interest that she remain in the Brown family's custody. I agree. Dusty eventually moved back to Oklahoma from Hawaii, which she was originally from Oklahoma. There, she moved in with an old girlfriend from Hawaii and a new boyfriend. Her new boyfriend was incredibly abusive, and they made a plan to kidnap Chrissy from the Browns. Mm-hmm. let me just do a second trigger warning. This is, like, so sad to kidnap. I know it's her child, but anyway,
This is who she's come to know as...
Right.
Who takes care of her and mm-hmm. is there for her.
Exactly. So, on July 4th, 1984, the Browns were coming home from the 4th of July festivities in town, and Chrissy was abducted by Dusty and her clan. They ambushed them on the way home and stole baby Chrissy out of the car, which I was raised by my grandparents, and you were too, pretty much raised by, you know, half and half.
Yeah.
But everybody's raised by their grandparents down here.
Yeah.
So that is so upsetting.
Yeah.
Like, Nana Papaw probably would have passed out if my parents did that to me. So the parental custody laws in Alabama and Oklahoma are different. Because Alabama had given Mary and Jack custody of Chrissy, they had a legal right to her. Therefore, there was a warrant put out for Dusty for kidnapping charges in Alabama. Oklahoma, however, has no laws against this. And according to them, Dusty has a right to her child legally because she's the natural mother. Hate that. Love it, but hate it.
Yeah.
So basically, she has this bench warrant. So if she ever comes back to Alabama, she can get arrested.
For kidnapping.
But they cannot go to Oklahoma. They actually tried. Like, they had Alabama courts call Oklahoma, and Oklahoma was like, no.
Okay, great.
Yes.
So, the Browns wind up suing Dusty for the return of Chrissy, but the Oklahoma courts rule in Dusty's favor, with the exception that she is to never leave the state of Oklahoma. And if she does, she'll be arrested for kidnapping. And Chrissy was 2 at the time of the abduction.
Yes, so she lives in Hawaii her whole life, gets given to her grandparents, her dad dies, and then she gets abducted. All within a few months. Which will translate later on in her life.
Over the next several months, the Browns fought hard to get their granddaughter back and get Dusty charged with something in the murder of Chris. She not only sent out over 1,300 flyers and letters to women's shelters around the country, but Mary called senators, FBI agents, local and state police, and multiple other agencies. She ended up requiring several classified documents on her son's murder. Apparently, Mary was so forceful with the FBI that they ended up assigning a special agent to Chris's case and his case only. And the Browns also hired a private investigator.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Like, in the movie, they're like, well, it's fine, we put Rocky away. And she's like, no, we're not done. Dusty has something to do with it, and I want my child back. And I just love that.
She advocated for both her son and her granddaughter.
1,300 flyers, go Mary.
Yeah, and making all those calls and spending all the time. Because you know she had to fight them hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, the PI disclosed that there was evidence of neglect and other nonspecific abuse, and Christy was often left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And she was only two.
Yes, and often left alone at the Oklahoma house, where there's this new boyfriend that's abusive and all that.
Mary got extremely depressed and discouraged by the fact that the case against Dusty wasn't progressing and they still didn't have their granddaughter. I'm sure she felt like she was failing Chris.
Right.
Because he left Chrissy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then she couldn't protect her.
Right. And she couldn't protect him.
Yeah.
From going into the military and getting killed in the military by someone that... it's not supposed to kill you.
Exactly. In the meantime, the special FBI agent went to talk to Rocky in prison. During the first trial in Hawaii with the NIS, Rocky denied Dusty was ever involved in any capacity. He refused to implicate her. He was resistant during his talk with FBI in prison, but eventually he agreed to write Dusty some letters orchestrated by the FBI trying to get her to confess to conspiring to kill Chris. So Rocky does come out and say that she was involved.
He eventually does, yes. So, like, if a murder occurs, I think we all know if a murder occurs within military confines, it's the military's case.
Yes.
But Dusty was not a member of the military. Her spouse passed away. She's a civilian. So therefore the FBI came after her.
Oh.
Because it's now federal.
Okay.
Instead of military. And he did eventually come out and say, yeah, she was involved, but we don't know the details of that.
Yeah. So it's just him alleging that she did.
It's him confessing that she had involvement, but we don't know in what way he said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the FBI did eventually have enough evidence to charge Dusty with conspiracy to commit murder. Her last letter to Rocky proved to be incriminating, and so was her last phone call. Simultaneously, Dusty and Chrissy checked into a women's shelter out of state. So she wasn't allowed to leave Oklahoma, but they check into a women's shelter out of state.
For an unknown reason. Like I said, there's so many unknown details, but we do know some things. Dusty and Chrissy were at a shelter for some reason. We don't know why.
Okay. The owners of the shelter recognized who they were based on the flyer Mary had sent them.
Oh, fucking so, chills. Yeah, I love that.
Just by chance that they got one of her flyers.
I know. Ugh.
That's amazing. They then called the Alabama police, and eventually they were able to apprehend Dusty.
And get their baby back.
Yay! So, Dusty was finally convicted of conspiracy to commit murder and second-degree murder in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know? We don't know when.
We don't know when, but it was about a year after the murder itself, which, round of a fucking applause.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So, yes, we got the baby. Everything's good. Justice, we think. Yes. So, let's just do a little update on Dusty. Okay, she was sentenced to 7 years in prison. 7 years! Although, we don't know exactly to what extent she was involved, okay? But 7 years for conspiracy to commit murder in second degree. And she only served 4.
And how was she not... she kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Was that not charged? Was she not charged with kidnapping?
I have no clue. I did not find anything on that. But she was released after 4 years in 1988. She did eventually remarry and had other children. What the fuck? Dusty was allegedly pregnant at the time of her arrest for the murder of Chris, and then became pregnant again while in prison by a guard working there. Very much Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
She ended up having 3 kids total, including the child before Chrissy and the one after. She died of cirrhosis in November of 2011 at the age of 54. Goodbye. Okay. Update on Mary and Jack, which is Chris's parents. They lived an extremely private life. Following the third and final trial, the second one was the custody, and the third being Dusty. They continued to raise Chrissy. Mary has declined to offer any photos of her or her family and any documentation in regards to Chris and his murder. It's safe to say that Mary truly just wanted justice, and that's all. She didn't want any attention. It doesn't show it in the movie, but Mary and Jack had another son. Not sure if he's older or younger than Chris. Sources have said that Mary continued to talk about her son to anyone that would take the time to listen until her death in February of 2010 at 74. Jack and Mary did divorce following Chris's murder. Sometimes it just doesn't last through that. And Jack died in 1996. The privacy of Mary is very prevalent. There's only one photo you can find on the internet of Chris, and one photo you can find of Mary. She is the epitome of somebody that wanted to go to the source and get things fucking fixed.
And she did.
And she did. Mary, yes, girl. She is a queen. She's like, you don't need to see my son. I need to speak to the fucking FBI. Thank you.
Yes.
We love that for her. We have no choice but to love her.
Yes. And we also have an update on Chrissy. So almost all the information about Chrissy Brown is extremely private. So kind of following how Mary.
Exactly.
There are no known facts about her. Every link to blogs that were found, they're all broken and come up with an error page. Even links to pictures of her are broken. So there must be some kind of legal protection put in place to keep her name and face out of the public eye. And it is rumored that Chrissy, like her mother, made a life of crime. According to one user on activeboard.com, Chrissy, quote, has a record 10 miles long.
Yes, and actually after we made these notes, I looked up on, I tried to find some arrest records. I did find some arrest records for Chrissy. She did a lot of petty shit, you know, stealing and stuff. Oh, okay. I did find her picture. We will not be posting that. If they wanted people to find that, they would, and I'm not posting her arrest record. She is not even anywhere near somebody that is the villain in this story. She's also a victim.
And she obviously wants to be kept private.
She does. She has no Facebook. She has no social media. She's never reached out to anybody. She does not want to be found.
Yeah.
If you care to see her arrest record, sure, go ahead and find it. But we're not going to be posting it. No. But bless her heart, she has been through hell. As far as I know, you know, she's still alive and we hope and pray that everything works out for her. So, Mary later said in a Deseret News article from 1993 on the release of the movie, which is called A Matter of Justice, she said, I quote, I fought every authority legally to get custody of this child. Alabama, Oklahoma's laws. I could not sleep at night thinking that a woman that I felt very strongly had been involved in the death of my son would have custody of his own child. So I went to every congressman that I knew. I went to every authority, every district attorney, and private investigators. I did whatever was necessary, and I would do it again. And that is the murder of Chris R. Brown, Corporal Chris R. Brown. horrible story, but very important, very interesting, and it had a lot of facets to it.
Yes.
And I love a good story of grandparents fighting for their babies.
For their rights.
Yeah. And she did both. She was like, I'm not letting anybody fuck over my son or my grandchild.
Yeah. And I can't, but I still cannot believe Dusty only got 7 years and only served 4.
Mm-hmm.
So while she got justice, it's still not.
Mm-hmm. And don't quote me on this, but I believe Rocky was released in 2012. He was released.
So he was in there from like 84 to 2012.
Yes. And I think the NIS, whatever, Naval Investigative Services,
mm-hmm.
I think the reason he got out was time served. So they make up their own rules, you know. Do you think that... I know what the answer is, but what do you think about him being in prison from 84 to 2012 for stabbing somebody and cutting his thumb off?
I feel like it's not enough time, obviously.
Yeah.
But what is enough?
Yeah.
I mean.
I know.
And in the long run, you either keep them in there forever, or you see if maybe they could be a productive member of society.
Right.
But how do you know when to try that?
I know. And I don't know anything about his current day life. I did find a picture of him. He seems to be doing well. He's still relatively young. He was 20 at the time of this crime. In the movie, they portray him to be somewhat regretful about it. You know, you're 20. You can go back and forth on whether you meant it or not, but
yeah.
I feel like if I were Mary, I would think he meant it.
Yeah. I think also being a 20-year-old, though, you could be very manipulated by someone that you love.
Yeah.
That you think you love, anyway.
Mm-hmm. And they make it seem like he really did love Dusty. And he makes it seem like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did see on some blogs and Reddit posts people claiming to have known Dusty. Claiming that she was a very nice person. And that she wasn't capable of doing these things. I don't know. We don't know a lot of these things. But she was convicted. And we have to have faith that she was rightly convicted of conspiracy in second degree. So, if you guys liked this story, please leave us a 5-star review if you haven't already. If you have a case suggestion, shoot us an email at crimecafepod@yahoo.com.
Or DM us on Instagram at crimecafepod.
Yep. And we will post the information in the show notes.
And we will be back next week with another case.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you guys. Bye.